Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Hotel Mars. I welcome Anatoly Zak, who keeps the Russian Space Web, a subscription site I highly recommend. It is Roscosmos, the most famous, the original manned space program and unmanned. Right now, we're dealing with a news report in these last days. Russia's next-generation nuclear missile failed the test, evidence suggests. New York Times, subhead. Satellite photos show a 200-foot-wide crater at a launch site, indicating that the Sarmat missile, said by the Kremlin to travel at five times the speed of sound, might not be ready. A very good evening to you, Anatole. The Sarmat, I learned from you at Russian Space Web, is named for a nomadic tribe in the vastness of the taiga and the forest. However, there is also the suggestion that it is a weapon of war. What do we know about this failure, and what is the Sarmat intended for? What's its mission? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. So Sarmat is it's a type of rocket which is called intercontinental ballistic missile. So it's a long-range ballistic missile, very heavy. It's the heaviest class of missile in the Russian fleet. In fact, it's the largest type of ballistic missile in the world right now. And it's actually a kind of obsolete type of a vehicle for most armies around the world who use that type of weapons, because it uses actually liquid propellant, very toxic liquid propellant. And most armies around the world has actually abandoned that type of technology, including the United States, and use solid propellant missiles, which are much easier and much more contained and easier to handle. However, Russia in the post-Soviet period still decided to replace the Soviet-era R-36M2 missiles, which were deployed in the 80s and were built in Ukraine. And they carried multiple warheads. So they carry all this missile, including that new generation Sarmat, designed to carry so-called MIRVs. It's a multiple re-entry vehicles. It means the multiple warheads. So essentially, the rocket climbs into the stratosphere, goes to the toward the target, and before the entry back into the atmosphere, before the re-entry, it releases these multiple warheads, which have individually targeted system. So they can target different targets within a certain radius and hit them with nuclear bombs, essentially. So each of those vehicles which are released from the missile is essentially one individual atomic bomb, which is designed, it's protected from the heat of re-entry. It can re-enter the atmosphere and then hit the target with quite high accuracy and destroy them, essentially initiate a nuclear explosion. So this is weapon designed exclusively for the destruction of North American continent. It's to hit cities or military objects in North America, in the United States and Canada primarily. And so it has no other uses rather than it's a so-called strategic weapon. It has no other uses except for a kind of doomsday weapon in a nuclear war.
There have been several tests before. Your site is very careful about when. December 17, I see, might have been the first test, a dummy ejection. And then subsequently, there was one in second ejection test was 2018. There was another test, I believe, in 2022. And now this test, the one that is said to have failed, is the fourth test, although you talk about an all-up test. So what's the difference between a dummy ejection test and an all-up test? How do they compare?
Yeah, that's very important. So essentially, all-up test is when the rocket is fully assembled. It has all its stages. And it has, of course, not real warheads, but dummy warheads. So it's a vehicle which is fully designed to fly its intended trajectory. It can fly its entire range, which means for intercontinental ballistic missile, it means intercontinental distance. And for, in case of Russia, it usually means that they launch it from Plesetsk, which is north of Moscow, and it flies across entire Russian territory. Normally during test flights, it can fall either the warheads of that, not the missile itself, because it's multi-stage missile. So most of the stages, they fall during the flight, but the warheads, they need to, during the test flights, they usually fly to the Russian Far East, and they fall on the Kamchatka Peninsula, which is, they have a special impact area where they usually, those warheads fall. And that was probably most likely intentional, the goal, purpose of this launch. Even though, again, it had never been acknowledged officially by the recent Ministry of Defense or Russian government. It's only, we know about this accident only from satellite photos, which are multiple. There are images which show essentially explosion at the launch site in a silo. It's a, it launches from the underground silo. So the silo was apparently destroyed. So we can only guess how that happened, but most likely what happens during the all tests of missiles like this, it's ejected from the silo with a special motor, which immediately separates. And only then, when the rocket is in the air, it fires its own engines. When it's like few hundred meters or maybe 100 meters in the air, it fires its own engine and flies away. And if something happened to the engine, it actually has very high probability to fall back into the silo. And of course, there is no soft landing in this case. The whole rocket fully filled with fuel explodes. And of course, that's why we see the results of this explosion, the destroyed silo and several sources of fire next next to the site. So so we can, again, we speculate, but that's what most likely happened.
Has Sarmat been deployed? Because your timeline here suggests that they're still in the building stage, the testing.
Yes. So essentially, because we're talking about strategic weapon, we kind of have it's kind of never intended to for real use except for a nuclear war. So it plays very important role in propaganda war. So officially, there was a number of statements of from the Ministry of Defense where they claimed that the missile, that particular system was deployed. However, again, was it just for the public, or it was deployed but still needed to have test flights? Most likely, that's the case, because of course we know about only one or two fully integrated tests where the entire rocket, like again, unlike just using the ejection system, one or only one stage, one first stage engines, we only know about one or maybe two launches where entire rocket, all the stages and all the engines were used. And of course, you don't have a weapon ready to go if only part of it was tested. If not, there were no fully integrated test launch, and the vehicle did not fly its entire intended trajectory. So so all the indications are that this particular rocket, even though it's been developed for many, many years, this rocket is very far from operational deployment or for really being real weapon, which is kind of ready to go.
Let's talk about the engines. You report that the propulsion system based on the first stage engine of the R-36M/2, which was assembled in Ukraine, and now they're producing it at the Proton PM Enterprise in Perm. Is that significant that they've changed assembly areas?
Yes, this is very, very significant, and that in fact may be one of the reasons where they have problem, because essentially they using this technology, like I said, this particular vehicle was developed in the 70s and the 80s, was deployed in the 80s. So they trying now to reproduce this technology inside Russia, because the main integrator of the system was a Ukrainian company. And the engines were built in Russia at that time, in the Soviet Union at the time. But now they building a new version of that engine for this particular missile. But the missile itself, the manufacturing of the hardware is done inside Russia instead of Ukraine. So this is very, very complicated process. A number of projects besides the Sarmat had similar issue, for example, with Angara when they moved production from Moscow to Siberia. There was the same kind of issue. So they having, it looks like, very serious problems with production quality. And also there is another issue is flight control system. The rocket itself is just the metal and the engines, right? It needs brains. It needs the computers which control everything. And that was also very challenging for Russia. A lot of that type of work was done also in Ukraine. Now they move in a lot of this sensors, computers development inside Russia. And some companies are working on these systems, are doing this for the first time. So we have no surprise that it might be actually, this particular issue might be rooted into the flight control computer failure for this rocket.
I'm speaking with Anatoly Zak. He keeps the Russian space web watching Roscosmos. We've been speaking of what we know of, a failed launch. We're going to turn to manned systems next, the trusted Soyuz and the new PTK or 10.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.